everyone, and welcome to Beyond Talk with Faith McKinney. I'm so excited. Today is January 24th, and man, where has the time gone? Thank you so much for joining us here on Beyond Talk. That was a beautiful, beautiful musical selection by Miss Corin Hawthorne, who was a contestant on one of my favorite shows, The Voice. Well, if you want to call in tonight, we have some very special guests tonight. We have three to talk about the travel and tourism industry here on Beyond Talk tonight. So our call-in number, if you want to ask a question, if you want to add into the conversation, number is 646-716-7994. And I want to thank our fantastic producer, Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, for being so wonderful and getting our guests together. Tonight's going to be a fantastic show, as I said, and I want to say hello to our guests. And we have Ms. Edwina Warder, Mr. Greg DeShields, and Ms. Betty Smith. Are you all on the line?
Yes.
How are
yes,
you tonight?
Fine,
right.
Thank you, and yourself?
Well, I am wonderful, wonderful. Now, let's start with, are all of you are in the Philadelphia area?
No, I live in California. This is Edwina. I live
okay.
in California.
Edwina, this is Edwina?
Yes.
Okay, Edwina, and I believe everyone else is in Philadelphia. I'm in Indianapolis, so we are all over the country. So our audience is going to get a great variety of input here. So please feel free to call and ask your questions. I'm going to start with Ms. Edwina Warder in California. Please let us know about what your business and your area of expertise in the travel and tourism area.
Again, my name is Edwina. I live in Southern California. Ebis Travel is a freelance consultant travel agency. We specialize in European and Caribbean destinations, and we're focused on group vacations, but we also provide travel for friend getaways or information for travel for friend getaways, and we accommodate independent travelers as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Greg DeShields, please introduce yourself to our audience here on Beyond Talk. Greg? All right, well, let's move on to Ms. Betty Smith. Are you with us, Betty?
Yes, I am. And actually, Faith, I am now in, I'm originally from Philadelphia. I'm now in Kansas City, Missouri, with the owner
That's
of
right.
Movie and Tours and Travel. Now we have been out in Kansas City, Missouri for a while, realized there was a need out here for cultural and heritage tours. And we've only been incorporated for 2 months, actually. So we're starting up again to do pretty much what we did in Philadelphia, and that is we specialize in heritage tours.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to learn more about that in just a second. I know Mr. Greg DeShields is the executive director of PHL. His call dropped, so we're going to go ahead and move on. Let's discuss Betty Smith. Let's talk about your ventures, and you're in Kansas City, so let us know what the climate is for the tourism, the travel and tourism industry in your neck of the woods.
Okay. As I said, our company specializes in African-American heritage and cultural tours. That's the fastest growing segment of tourism as the National Trust for Historic Preservation had a meeting and determined that is the fastest growing segment of the tourism meetings of the tourism industry. And what we're doing out here, as we did in Philadelphia, going to a lot of different places that specialize or that have memories and artifacts of heritage tourism, and especially African-American tourism and some Indian tourism, even out here in Kansas City. We put together packages relating to the history of African Americans in Kansas City. In addition to the African Americans, we're trying to reaching out and trying to partner with other companies, other African American companies, and also other companies as well, doing business with them, putting together tourist packages, and just sharing that history with the people of Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas.
All right. Well, I believe we have someone on the line from the 816 area code. Are you there, caller?
I am, yes.
Okay. Do you have a question? No, you're Greg DeShields, right?
No, I'm the caller from the 816 area code.
Okay, I'm so sorry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for calling in. What's your question or comment?
If I was to take a heritage tour, Mrs. Betty, I think was the name, where would you suggest I go first?
Well, if you were going to take a tour through us, our tours are packaged, and what we would offer you would be a four-hour tour, depending on the size of your group, a four-hour tour of utilizing the history of Kansas City. There's a lot of history out here with Jesse James, actually, believe it or not, even though he was not African-American, but he has some African-American history that's also attached to him. We would also take you to the 18th and Vine District, and that was the home of jazz. Jazz greats such as Lewis, some of the piano greats, Duke Ellington also, they have played out here. This was a time when African Americans were not allowed access to a lot of the other restaurants and venues in the city of Missouri, so they were relegated to that area at 18th and Vine. Also at 18th and Vine, there is a jazz museum and baseball museum, and it's highlighting the baseball greats that were playing out here during that time when they were not allowed to play ball in other parts of the city.
Okay. Well, caller, I would like to pose that question to Ms. Edwina Warder as well. The caller wanted to know, if he was to take a tour, where would you suggest?
Well, basically, we do focus on international and Caribbean areas. Currently, we're going to go to Greece. And so normally what we do is we'll visit some countries like Greece or Rome or something. And then in the next year, we try to choose a different area. Personally, I mean, Paris is the city of light. I love Paris. I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't love Paris. Eiffel Tower is absolutely amazing. I've been to Cuba. Cuba is very organic and very it's pure. And you know, the United States is probably going to be setting up businesses and things over there. So I think that people should probably go to Cuba before we as Americans start to change it. It's an awesome country. You know, of course, you got the cigars. Everybody, you know, wants the cigars, the rum. But the people are very eager to share their culture. And the tourism helps their economy tremendously. Madrid, Barcelona, Iceland, most of these places I've been to. So those are the trips that I offered first. I take advice from, I have a meetup group, and they'll say, okay, let's go here, let's go there. And so in 2018, I'm already planning for trips to different countries. But those are the countries that I can be very specific about. And I think that Paris and Cuba are probably the two main ones that I really, really like.
Fantastic. I know we have Mr. Greg DeShields back on the line with us. Mr. DeShields, how are you today?
Yeah. Hi, how are you? And I apologize. I think I lost my signal.
Oh, that's quite all right. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience? We're really interested in what you do and in your role in the travel and tourism industry.
Sure. So my name is Greg DeShields. I'm the executive director of PHL Diversity, which was formerly known as the Multicultural Affairs Congress here in Philadelphia. We are a division of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is the official marketing arm for the city of Philadelphia. My particular division is that which focuses on multicultural and diverse meetings and conventions to come to the city. We have been a part of the Convention and Visitors Bureau as of this year for 30 years, so we celebrate a long history. And a lot of our activities in the beginning really focused on developing African-American tourism within the city of Philadelphia, which included establishing more visitor-ready facilities. We serve as a valuable resource to the tourism industry in Philadelphia and to the community that really looks for fantastic as well as value-add facilities when hosting diverse meetings and conventions. Probably some that would resonate with our listeners. Most recently, we held the AME convention just prior to the Democratic National Convention here in Philadelphia. And then last year, we hosted the annual conference for the NAACP, and the year before that, the Omega Psi Phi Convention. And we actually are looking forward to the fall of this year, where we'll actually host the Black MBA conference here in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing. I want to pose a question to, Mr. DeShields, how is it that if I'm in Indianapolis and hosting events such as the Black MBAs and the National Democratic Convention is quite a feat. What is it that is the draw for these conventions to come to Philadelphia? What makes the difference?
Well, I mean, I think a city like Philadelphia certainly has, you know, that distinguished history of being the birthplace of our democracy here in the United States, and we are a city of first. But I think as a city that has a very strong historical rooted foundation, we also are a city that has evolved to provide, you know, spectacular food and restaurant options, as well as great hotels, a fantastic meeting and convention facility. And most importantly, we're a walkable city. A lot of meetings and conventions in other cities, not that they don't have great facilities and great restaurants, but in a city like Philadelphia, and you can walk literally from your hotel to the convention center to a restaurant in all of maybe 3 or 4 blocks. And that is a real add value. And I think, you know, Philadelphia still is an affordable option when groups are looking from a price-sensitive perspective, a way of executing a world-class or stellar type of convention in a very contemporary, modern, metropolitan city at yet an affordable price for their attendees.
That's amazing. So I want to take our questions to the West Coast with Ms. Edwina Warder. I want to talk about international travel, and I want to talk about being a savvy traveler, you know, someone who is prepared, who love to travel, and really saves up for travel. That's his thing. How is it that people who are the travelers, how what's the better way for other people who want to be a traveler to prepare to be a world traveler?
Well, first of all, it has to be a priority. Travel has to be one of your priorities in order to be able to travel. So that means that you might have to give up some things. You might have to give up some of the coffees and some of the purses and some of the shoes, and then open up an account from like an online banking source and just put money away every month in that account, like a little savings. It doesn't have an ATM card. You know, you can't get to it, but you're putting that little bit of money away every month so that you can plan for travel. Once you are in the position that you're saving money, then you should probably do group travel, because group travel is it's more cost efficient. The more people that go, usually the less it is. And then if you don't have a travel buddy, when you do group travel, then you can find somebody that you can travel with. But I think that the as far as the savings is concerned, it has to be a priority for you. And then you have to be able to give up a little bit of something to get it, depending on your finances. And usually when you do group travel, you can make monthly payments. So that makes it easier than coming up with a large lump sum.
Absolutely. So, Betty, let's go to you as far as the African-American historical destination. Let's talk about how families fit into this this type of tourism.
Absolutely. Heritage tourism is an excellent way for families to, for adults to educate their children and their family. Also, we do presentations and we do tours for schools, again, which is an excellent way to educate young people. Actually, we hope that through our educational, our tour programs, we hope just to teach our children that education is definitely more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. If you have a family, you're planning your annual vacation, or maybe the heritage tour would not be your main vacation, but if you just wanted to go around the city you live in, I would suggest that you look for a tour company that specializes in educational or heritage or cultural tours, just to share that history and that culture with your family. And almost any city you go into now, we also go to other cities with our groups. There is some type of cultural or heritage tour available. And again, it's an excellent way just to share that education and the rich heritage of people of color with young people and older people also.
I remember going on some heritage tours with my family when I was younger, and, you know, that's something you never forget. All right, I believe we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello? If you're a caller, please press pound one to speak. Please press pound one to speak if you're a caller, and we would love to take your question or comment from the 404 area code. Are you there? Oh, please press pound one. All right, we're going to go back to Ms. Betty Smith and finish talking about the educational value of travel, especially local travel and historical heritage tourism. Speak about how, I know you've been in Philadelphia and now you're in Kansas City. Other cities, how do people find the tour guides or the best travel options in their town?
I think the first step is going through your visitors and convention bureaus. Most of them have, they work with heritage tourism or people that provide heritage tourism. And I think that would be the first step. Other than also going online. But I think one of the main steps, I know when I was in Philadelphia, I was part of MAC, and I was just referred. I received a lot of referrals from MAC. I worked along with MAC at that time.
And what is MAC? What is the acronym for
MAC?
Well,
MAC is now, I believe, Mr. DeChills can probably tell you, MAC was formerly, and that's because I was there a few years ago, it was Multicultural Affairs, but now it's called PHL, if I'm correct. I think Mr. DeChills could shed more light on that.
Yeah, so this is Greg DeShields. So, like I said, we at the PHL Diversity, which was formerly the Multicultural Affairs Congress, you know, had a long history of both serving meetings and convention and specifically African-American tourists. And in our earlier years, we did focus heavily on the tourism component, which would provide resources for family reunions or cultural heritage tourism. We worked very closely, once again, with the various venues in the city to ensure that they had the kind of experience that people were looking for, and they had the cultural richness, and they had the dose and accuracy in terms of telling the story about us as African-American people in a way that it was a very educational yet enjoyable experience. You know, the only significant difference that I would say in terms of what we've done evolving from MAC to PHL diversity is that we've expanded the number of people who are around the table. So, you know, our audiences originally had the opportunity when they came to Philadelphia to learn a lot about our African-American history, but we've also evolved to include a very rich history from our Latino Hispanic community, as well as our Asian American community. And we've now included both women and LGBT at our table to really provide the true value of coming to a destination like Philadelphia, which is just so incredibly diverse. But the remarks that were made earlier about when you're trying to go into a city and you're trying to figure out where do I go to get the information, without any doubt, whether it's the Visitors Bureau, the Visitor Center, or the Conventions and Visitors Bureau itself, they collect all of the information that is really most current and relevant. Some of it is because the organizations are members, and some of it is just because they keep a pulse on the things that are happening in their market. But I think it's a great way to start to get the information that you need. And if they have additional resources that can provide you even a more enhanced experience, then, you know, I would just continue to work through them as a primary source.
So as a city like Philadelphia, you do have such a robust history and, you know, a very diverse population. Gosh, I can imagine that it's really kind of overwhelming for someone who, you know, maybe from a small town come in and figure out what to do first. Are there people to help visitors with those decisions, with those choices and schedules?
So there's two options of how you could approach it in Philadelphia. You know, I've indicated that we at the Convention and Visitors Bureau has various resources, and you could certainly start by visiting our website at www.phldiversity.com, and there's a variety of resources that are just, you know, at a finger's click. There's another organization called Visit Philadelphia that provides individual leisure tourism information. We both collaborate in how we are able to position the destination for a variety of visitors, but I think when you have that particular kind of resource, we then may say, I don't have all of the resources to assist you. For example, if you wanted to take an African-American slavery tour in Philadelphia, but I would connect you with our partners at the African-American Museum in Philadelphia, and then Patty Wilson Aiden and all of her team would either connect with other people in the arts and culture or in the historical cultural community to help build a package for you. But, you know, the Bureau or tourist agency can be that vehicle to make the introduction. And then if it is that you ultimately end up at one organization, they can do specific customization of experiences that you're looking for. Even if you don't know what you want, they can help you at least know what are the must-sees, the must-do when you're in that market.
Absolutely. Those partnerships are fantastic. And, you know, it does make Philadelphia sound so attractive right now. I think that, you know, you're just the flavors. You know, not only with the food, but with the art and the cultural flavors really enhance the experience. And I want to still, I'm trying to balance this out, but Edwina, with the international flair, what are some of the more exotic or memorable trips that you've taken and what are some things that we can look forward to coming in 2017 and 2018?
I guess I would have to say the most memorable trip that I've taken was to Cuba, because it's always been so mysterious. It's like something that we can't have and that we couldn't get to because our country did not do export with Cuba. So when I was afforded the opportunity to go, I jumped on it, and it's just, it's like another world, and it's not like a third world in regards to how they live, but, you know, it is, they do have their economic struggles, but the people were so kind, and it's just, it's very rich with history. So I would have to say that Cuba was the most exciting place that I've been, barring Paris. I simply love Paris. In the future for 2017, we are going to Greece. We are also going back to Paris. We're going to Rome, and we're going on to Barcelona. And we'll visit Madrid when we go to Barcelona. And then in December, I am taking a group back to Cuba. I went with a group when I went to Cuba. And so I decided that I would do a group trip to Cuba, because I just think that everybody should go before the United States gets over there and we do what we do. We take over and we change things, and it just, you need to see it at its purest form. And then in 2018, we're planning some trips to Thailand. We're trying to get to South Africa, and then we're going to do New Zealand, Australia. So those are some things that I'm working on as far as the 2018. The 2017 trips are set. We're still looking for travelers to participate in our trip to Rome, Paris, and Barcelona, and we have some spots left for our Cuba trip that's coming up.
All right, that sounds amazing. So we're going to take a break here on Beyond Talk with Faith McKinney, and when we come back, we're going to talk about doing business with the travel and tourism industry. So we'll be right here. This is Faith McKinney with Beyond Talk.
Catering Inc. offers great food and desserts homemade to be delivered to your next event or celebration. You can choose to pick up or deliver. Book your next appointment today with Odaline's Catering Inc. at 646-657-6640. Let us bring taste to your next celebration.
It's all about travel and tourism today on Beyond Talk with Faith McKinney. I have three amazing guests today. We have Edwina Warder, Greg DeShields, and Betty Smith. If you are in the audience and you want to call in, please call in. Our number is 646-716-7994. And press pound 1 if you want to talk. We are so excited to have you call in and ask your questions or leave a comment for any of our questions, any of our guests about travel and tourism today. This is so fascinating because, you know, travel and tourism is now a probably multi-billion-dollar industry. Every day we see commercials with these huge, huge cruise ships and, you know, talk about, you know, visit Michigan, you know, and Kentucky commercials, you know, for travel and tourism. Can anyone speak, or I'd love to hear from all of you, but let's start with you, Mr. DeShields. Talk about the industry as a whole. You know, how is it? How robust is it? What's it looking like for 2017? Greg? All right, well, let's go to Betty. Gregory, are you there? Okay, Betty Let's talk to you. I want to speak to you about, you know, the tourism industry and how can small businesses engage. I know you have your heritage tours. How do small businesses engage, and how can they be even a bigger presence in the tourism industry?
Absolutely. I think we have here in Kansas City, one of the companies that I use are African American bus companies. We utilize them. When we go out, we go to African American restaurants, which also provides monies and employment. They're part of the tourism industry. Some of the restaurants here are just open solely. The larger restaurants will open up for us as a group, for our large groups. We also utilize. Trying to think of some of the other smaller vendors that we use, but mainly they would be our restaurants. We have some specialty stores out here in Kansas City, in Missouri, and in Kansas that we utilize too. Some of the museums, of course, trying to give back to the cultural and heritage, some of that, the money that's collected. Some of the museums here are baseball, our jazz museum, some of the museums, and also a lot of the jazz venues downtown at 18th and Vine are definitely a large part of what we do.
Okay. Gregory, I believe you're back. Yeah.
Yes. Do you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sorry about that.
No problem. So what I was going to say, you know, in terms of the tourism and hospitality industry, it's a very resilient industry. Even in tough economic times, people want to eat, drink, and travel. While they might do it in a limited way, the opportunities exist. But, you know, kind of looking at the 7-year trending cycle, hotel occupancies are much higher than they had been, of course, during the economic downturn. But more importantly, hotels have been able to deliver a higher quality product and experience for customers. And as such, they've been able to adapt to higher average daily rates for hotels. And, you know, we just kind of the average across the country, there's an incremental growth of, you know, anywhere between $25 to $35 on a given room night compared to what the industry may have been during, you know, 2008, 2009. But I think what's more important about where we are today in the industry is that it continues to evolve with new project or product concepts. When you look specifically at the hotel segment, with the growth of boutique hotels and hotels looking at providing more of a customer or a guest experience that really replicates your lifestyle, that which you're accustomed to, that there's a more meaningful experience that you have. So the industry continues to evolve to deliver a better experience and overall better value to the customer. From the perspective of a tourism point of view, there's been, you know, without any doubt over the years, the development of greater venues and experiences to kind of learn more, whether it's about your culture, whether it's about your heritage, or whether just some of the historical elements of some of our incredible cities. I mean, I'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge, you know, the African American Museum that opened up in Washington, which is a great testament to show what our tourism industry is like and the power of it from a historical heritage point of view, to provide customers just an incredible experience that would then allow them, when they're in that market, to spend money in a restaurant, spend money in a hotel, take a cab to go somewhere. But ultimately, those are part of the vehicles that drive the engine to our industry. You know, and I think most relevant to what we do in this industry is we create jobs for hourly people who pay mortgages, who put kids in school, and ultimately see us as a way to live the life that they, in fact, aspire to achieve. And I think that's why, for us, it's just a continuous passion to build our tourism industry to be as strong as it possibly can be for the thousands of workers that we have.
Absolutely. You mentioned also that, you know, there are plenty of niche areas in the tourism, within the tourism industry, such as boutique hotels and you know, customized tours, aside from the heritage tours, what other type of tourism are represented in the world that people can enjoy, especially small business tours?
Well, I think the idea of, I guess destination by destination offers a great deal of opportunities. There's, the uniqueness of cultural heritage tourism that can be tied to, for example, just following the Chitlin circuit. There's also ecotourism that can experiences that can be provided that allows you to, be much more engaged with the sustainability initiatives that might take place in a particular market. There are some markets where tourism has been truly built completely around the recreational or the I'm trying to think of the best word to describe it, the adventure aspect of tourism, where there's entertainment as well as recreational parks and entertainment venues for families. So those markets that do that well, I mean, there's a reason why you see the development of Ferris wheels in certain cities. It really appeals from a niche market to a certain kind of customer who's looking for a very different but a very unique experience that provides them ultimately that kind of, memory that is what we all seek, when we go to a different destination. So, if you kind of look at it destination by destination, what are some of the assets? What are some of the things that we have that we can provide and do something very different that might be in a different market, and then invest in that particular aspect of your tourism industry and just continue to refine and build that customer base, that would certainly see that as a reason for them to choose one destination over another.
I want to ask each of you, because this show is geared towards entrepreneurs and small businesses, in particular African-American businesses, how can small businesses engage in the travel and tourism industry? Let's start with Edwina, because she has more of an international perspective. How do small businesses engage in the tourism industry from your perspective?
Well, I am a small business, and I started my business because I love to travel, and I just recently retired, and I wanted to take advantage of the travel and, supplement my income. So that is the reason why I started my business. And what I do is I've created a group and a meetup group, and we meet and we do other things so that we can get to know each other and we can be comfortable with each other. And I just do a lot of research on the tourism websites. They have a wealth of information. So no matter where you're going to go, whether you're going to stay in the United States or whether you're going to go somewhere internationally, the tourism websites, they just have a lot of information, and you can find things to do, events that are happening in that particular country. I research a lot of travel blogs, and I read a lot of travel magazines like Travel and Leisure and Condé Nast, and so that's how I started. And then I take advantage of social media. Some of the trips that I have, the travelers that I have on them came from some of my social media sites. Some of them come from my meetup group that I started. So that's how I started my business. And we're in our infancy, so we're just really starting out. And although the business is in infancy, I've been traveling for like 20 or 30 years. So I understand travel. I understand that I have to save money so that I can travel. And travel is a priority for me. But there is, just a lot of research, and you got to be able to speak about where you want to go because people want to ask questions. And so pretty much for me it was just a lot of research, places that I've been to, and the places that I haven't been to, I just got to do a lot of research.
All right. I want to invite our audience to call in. Our number is 646-716-7994. Again, audience, if you want to call in and ask your questions about travel and tourism or leave a comment, our number is 646-716-7994, and please press #1 if you'd like to speak. All right, I want to ask a question again to you, Ms. Edwina. Can group travel be a way to attract customers for a certain market? And also, are there any collaborations, partnerships, or ways to do business with your e-biz travel in particular?
my niche is international travel, so the attraction would be to that you want to go and you want to travel internationally. You know, the world is larger than your backyard. So if you are in the position to travel internationally, why not take advantage and see some of the things and some of the places that God has placed here for us to see? And there's a lot of history, historical sites, when you go to some of these places. And so if you are a history buff, then like when you go to Rome, you know, you can see the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, you can see the Colosseum, the Roman Forum. I'm kind of like a gladiator girl. I like those type of movies. So I'm extremely excited. This will be my first time going to Rome, so I'm extremely excited to go to Rome because I like to see those type of things. The Louvre in Paris is a museum. You get to see things that you just don't get to see in the United States. My personal opinion. In regards to collaborations, because my company is in its infancy, I haven't done a lot of collaboration, but I have been approached. Like there's a gentleman that lives in Jamaica, and so he has he does transportation. And so if I send a client, because I also do independent travel, if you want to go somewhere, call me and I'll research it for you. I will refer him as far as a travel. And I've done some research on him, looked at his website. You know, I'm just keeping an eye on him. And then I have another young lady has a company called Bougie Chic, and it's a clothing boutique. And she's interested in either coming in, and I have a meetup group of 100-plus people, you know, giving them a discount so that she can be introduced to the group, or possibly giving me some of her clothing items for any future contests or anything like that. But I am open to collaboration. It just depends on the collaboration and how we can work together.
Wow, absolutely. That sounds like a great niche for someone who is interested in maybe piecing together travel industry and other industry. You know, I never would have thought of a clothing industry helping out a travel industry in a tourism industry. But, you know, it all works together.
Well, if you think about it, normally tropical areas are the number one places that people want to travel. They're the number one place. And so usually you want to have nice clothing. You want to have a cute dress if you're a girl. For guys, they're shorts. For her company, is a women's site. But you want to have a cute dress, some cute sandals. And so that's why she came in and said, you know what, let's try to do something together. It'll benefit her company because she has really cute items. And then it'll benefit me and the members of my travel group if she provides them with a discount. So, yeah, I was kind of shocked. I didn't think of it, actually. She's the one that approached me, and then I had an aha moment. I was like, you know, you're right. So, yeah, I didn't think of it either, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that is an opportunity to, you know, think of the ways you can collaborate with the people that you meet all over the world, possibly. That sounds like another show. So, Greg, I want to ask you, in regards to working with people in the travel industry, what are some things that you wish other people knew about the travel industry, or what are some things that you wish people would do better when in regards to working with people in the travel industry?
Well, I think if you're a business and you want to get engaged in the travel industry, I think it's, you know, worthwhile to say, you know, kind of become a bit of a study of the industry. You know, the industry follows a cyclical pattern, so it's not that you'll always have an opportunity with, you know, the tourism activity of your particular destination. So it would be worthwhile to kind of learn what the peaks and valleys are. I think without any doubt, our industry is one of, you know, relationships. So I think you have to determine what organization in your particular market offers you the best opportunity to cultivate a relationship that will not only provide you access to business opportunities, but to provide you information about your industry so that you can make a strategic decision about your business as to when would be the best opportunity for it to be, you know, a collaborative partner or to approach it in terms of contracting opportunities. You know, an example is, You know, we have been very fortunate to have conventions like the World Meetings of Family and the Democratic National Convention, and soon we'll have the NFL Draft. And there are individuals who are in the tourism hospitality industry who look to get involved with our industry when that group is there. But that might be one group in a year that has that kind of significant bandwidth. But we also have up to 30 to 35 other conventions that are coming in that could easily have 20, 30,000 people that would offer you, you know, the same sort of business opportunity. But, you know, if you're only focusing on when the big fish comes in town, I think you really miss where the real deep pool of opportunity exists. So I would say that it's really about learning about the industry, learning the cyclical pattern of your market, and then establish a relationship with a particular organization that gives you the best intel and access to business opportunities with your tourism industry.
I'm going to bring on our producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams. But I, before that, I want to ask for people who are interested in forming those relationships, where are the best places to begin relationships in your area, Greg, in particular? Where do the movers and the shakers meet?
Well, I mean, you know, we're an interesting city because we do have a very collaborative spirit between our hospitality entities. The membership-based one would be the Convention and Visitors Bureau. The second one would be the Hotel Association. You know, those are two of the primary engines that really drive the economic opportunities around the meetings and conventions or tourism that takes place in Philadelphia. And I think once you've made the investment to be a member, you then cultivate that relationship between either of the two, which will give you all the intel that you need, but will also provide you access to those customers that are coming in and have a particular interest in their business.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you. Okay, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, are you with us?
Yes, yes. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for being on. I just wanted to, you know, just kind of share because what got me interested was actually Betty Smith. You know, Betty was doing travel, and if you, she may, you know, hook you up with a discount, but you had to do the work. So I actually learned. And then if she was short some docent, she's like, I got the Urban League coming in, and I need some people. So she drop off history in my door, and you have about, you know, a couple of days to learn all this history. Because one way Betty really did different in how she excelled, many times what happened, you'll get on a bus, a tour company put you on the bus to the place, and the docent that, say, at the museum will tell you everything about it. But we had to learn, you know, so much history because Philadelphia has crazy history, and I know Philadelphia has the other cities have to have it, just like in North Philly on Temple Campus. And my church, well, we're on our 41st anniversary right off of Borden Susquehanna, Greg. And we have been there 30-something years, at least 30 years. And I did a tour. Betty and Greg, y'all got to tell me, what are those tours? Remember the tour we did, Betty, where they welcome other tourists, tour company, and they let you do the historical tour? It's called the AM Tour or something.
Okay, yeah, I think that was the one that we did in conjunction with the Philadelphia NAACP. And
the convention center does it, because you were a member of the convention center.
Yeah.
And they took different, people from different tour agencies, they took them around to see the Philadelphia, you know, the city of Philadelphia. To give them incentives for
It was a fan.
That's what it's called, a fan
tour. For the tour guides.
Like,
from the tour companies in the city,
Okay. Yeah. But there I learned, and I lived in Philly all my life. I'm going on over 50 years in Philly. But it wasn't until I did that fan tour that I learned about Billie Holiday right up there on Temple Campus. And, Marcus Garvey and jazz singers and different things. Some things you knew, some houses you knew, like New Paul Robeson House, but the deep amount of history, especially in North Philly, an area they love to claim is so poor and underserved, has crazy rich history, you know, that's relevant, you know, to Philadelphia, to the country, to the world. And so even more than just downtown Philadelphia, there's so much significant history. But in that, also working with her when after Good left, when Wendell came in, they were, Wendell's administration was very cognizant of reaching out to the small businesses and letting them know, one, what was the direction of the city. At that time, they wanted to make tourism the number one industry, and they involved the small businesses in that. So what I really see African-American small businesses don't think of, I mean, it's all of these promoters out there. These people give parties, spoken word events, the music events. But 99% of these people do not ever think to engage the tourism industry or just that market. All those people coming in to tour, especially Philadelphia, it's a big industry. It's a big market of people that come in. And I have been in a hotel. One of the questions they were asking, the gentleman asked about, how do you find out? Generally, the concierge of a hotel is your friend. When you go, they're the ones to tell you everything to do. So if you're in business, you need that relationship, not just so much with the hotel director, but the concierge. And so you can get direct access. I felt that you get direct brochure and all. These are all benefits of being a member, because Betty was a member of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and then she served a lot with Multicultural Affairs Congress, which was a division. But that membership, yes, you know, really did offer some phenomenal benefits.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you follow the seasons, you know, because they plan ahead of time. And if you plan accordingly, I mean, they, from just giving you, and I was also, after that I joined MAC. I was a member of MAC. But from simply giving you the leads of all the hotel directors to being able to be a part of a mailing that goes to tourism companies, you know, throughout the world, you have the opportunity. Our theaters are not members. They think it's, the cost is too high. But when you think about the ability to sell out your shows, every show, is the cost really too high? So, I mean, you do have to do your numbers and have to be relevant. I'm working to close a client now. Gentleman's 70-something years old. He's right off of Broad Street, across from the Pearl Theater. Right, you know, the back lot to that Pearl Theater, to that strip right there on North Broad. He's right across. He has a bar. You know, it's like, it looks almost like Cheers, you know, where everybody knows my name. You know, very homey. And, you know, there's a lot of competition moving in. Some of it may not be legit, but I was like, it's just so many reasons to come up here. You know, the students are here. People love black culture. 60% of popular music in the world is African-American music. If you do something African-American culturally, I've been a marketing director of Bushfire Theater, First World Theater Ensemble for over almost 20 years now. I work with Freedom, you know, October Gallery, the visual arts. I just love the arts, so I've done a lot of marketing around the arts. Everything I've done in black arts maintains a minimum of a 30% white audience. So you're automatically going to get, you know, white audiences because, just, you know, a lot of times culturally, you know, they're brought up to automatically enjoy and appreciate art for the art of art. And, you know, they find our art very riveting. So, so sometimes we're afraid to think, if I just have it just black and all, you know, be business. Think of business. You know, if you do something that's all black, it's a niche. But look at your market. There are just so many opportunities, no matter what city you're in. Tourism, I don't know one city, county, that tourism isn't an important part of their economic engine. So just if you're in
just to remind everybody, and also an awesome resource. If you're into how to get involved with the industry, also would be your hotel managers, your hotel and catering sales managers. Even mm-hmm. out here, I've gone by and made appointments, introduced myself to everybody, as I did in Philadelphia. When they have groups coming in, whether it's a family reunion with maybe only 100 people, or if it's a convention with over 1,000, those people, they're giving up the rooms, they're selling the rooms, but they can also recommend you or your business if you want to be a part or be involved in doing business with some of the conventioners or people that are coming in from out of town. That's an awesome resource, or your hotel and convention salespeople and managers.
And I should also
and
add,
even like when they
Greg,
do movies in cities, right?
Right. Yeah, this is
yes.
Greg. You know,
no,
one thing I would say, from what we do at the Convention and Visitors Bureau and PHL Diversity, annually we hold a business opportunity luncheon for minority businesses. It's going to be held on February 21st. We'll bring in the planners who have an interest in speaking to minority businesses about the vending, contracting, and exhibiting opportunities that they have for their conventions. We're excited this year because we'll have Black doctors or National Medical, and we'll have the Black MBAs, and we'll also have Hispanic Bar. To have the planners actually speak to minority businesses, whether they be caterers or printers or limousine drivers or florists, to tell them, here's what I need from you when we're in your city. We did it 2 years ago for NAACP. Last year we did it with the AME Church, and it really is a great resource for minority businesses to make that connection when they attend our luncheon. We have close to about 250 people who attend, and the objective is to make it as seamless as possible through the Convention and Visitors Bureau to connect minority businesses to minority conventions for a great business opportunity.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I think it's wonderful. I just wanted you guys to share, because I know you have a wealth of information, but I just really want our audience to realize to start, you know, stretching, start thinking creatively. Like I said, this is a bar, and it's not just a bar, but it's a bar that has 3 floors of rooms. You know, these are just, you know, opportunities. So when, you know, people are putting on events or, you know, even churches, like what we did with historical tours, we do a thing every year called a lawn-a-thon. And I wanted to make it a little different. And because I learned about that rich history, which is literally around the corner from where we are, one of the state reps got us a bus. And for free, we were able to, you know, we were able to offer to the community a free historical tour through Nubian Tours of the area that they actually lived in that most people didn't know the rich history of. There are just, you know, so many opportunities and all, you know, to engage that, you know, you may not actually think of. So just start, you know, putting on your creative cap and look at opportunities to do business. And if it's not here in the great city of Philadelphia, you know, but check with your you know, your local bureau, because, you know, a lot of the structures are generally the same. There's always the, like he said, you have your Convention and Visitors Bureau, you have your hotel associations, and you have your meeting planners. Those are 3 core associations that's going to be almost part of every market. So, you know, start checking in there and see, you know, where some opportunities may lie, and see where it benefits to, you know, for membership. See what type of memberships are available.
Absolutely. I would also just like to share that there is business. There's so much business here in the industry. When I just recently did my current business plan, I redid it. And I got stats from the Travel Industry Association of America, and they were saying that the 3rd largest retail sales industry is tourism, and that amounts to about $584 billion, and that was in 2005. But so just to say, there's enough business in it for everybody, and especially if you're creative, because it's just not overseas, it's just not heritage tourism. You know, they're historic sites, again, and museums. There are cultural events and festivals. They're, you know, visiting national parks in addition to going overseas. And just to have everybody keep up on the current travel trends. But there is enough business for everybody to be a part of it if that's what you're interested in, the travel industry.
All right. Well, I think this wraps up another Beyond Talk with Faith McKinney. I want to thank our wonderful guest, Ms. Edwina Water of eTravel, Mr. Greg DeShields, of Executive Director of PHL Diversity, and Ms. Betty Smith of Nubian Travels. Is that correct?
Nubian Tourism and Travel, West.
Nubian Tourism and Travels. And also I want to thank our wonderful producer, Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, for producing another wonderful show. You've given so much information to our audience, and I know they got a lot out of it. I learned a lot. I want to thank you for your time, and I hope you'll tune in every other week with Beyond Talk with Faith McKinney. Have a great evening.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.